shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Hello, welcome back to the Mastercast, the Manchester United Tactical Podcast. I'm your host, Haider Obani. Rob Blanchett is joining me as always. We are back after a little hiatus, Rob, with the international break. To be honest with you, I kind of wish we weren't back because that performance was absolutely shocking. Lack of desire, the same issues that we talk about pretty much every single week with Manchester United in terms of lack of verticality, lack of progression, lack of cohesiveness. And I look at Ranić and I really sit there and I think, I feel very sorry for him if I'm honest with you. It's almost like he's a sitting duck now. The players have switched off. We're now looking towards the summer. We're looking towards a new manager. Before we discuss all of that today, guys, as always, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, give us a follow on at TF Masterclass, give myself a follow on at Haider underscore Rabani, and give Rob a follow on at underscore Rob underscore B. Rob, what can we really say? You were at the game yesterday and pretty dire performance. Leicester aren't a particularly good side either. So, you know, it's not like we were playing an absolute top side. But 11 shots, that's what we created. It felt like we didn't create anything clear-cut. And it's the same issues. And now we're just going to be looking forward because, look, Ranić's going to go at the end of the season. And we're going to get a new manager in, probably most likely Erik ten Hag. And, you know, it's almost like we're just going through the motions until we get to that stage.
This is a horrible football team. It's the bottom dollar. You know, when I was at Old Trafford yesterday, and I've said it so many times this season, sometimes you just cannot get away from the fact that a team just isn't very good. So you can talk about progression, and we will today. We'll talk about Ranić's time at United, which is now about to come to an end. We can talk about the future. We can talk about what we need in terms of a new coach, what the players have to do. But the bottom line is that for all the talent that Manchester United have got, for the £1.25 billion that they've spent in 10 years, Manchester United do not have a very good football team. So it doesn't matter what coach you've got to make these bits work. And what you saw against Leicester was a highly functional side in Leicester who knew what they were doing, a well-coached unit who've had a bad season for their standards, but are now trying to end on a high. And they just absolutely walked through United in parts of the pitch. Just completely embarrassing. These players have got issues from back to front. From De Gea on his feet, passing it out to those centre-backs and those full-backs through midfield where those two guys got walked through and Fred McTominay. I hear a lot that Fred was brilliant yesterday and I just saw 89% pass success rate. Great, but I saw enough bad balls from Fred yesterday. And then you look at maybe the problem of playing Paul Pogba with an injury from playing for France. Marcus Rashford can't even get in the team and he's been at training in Carrington for 2 weeks. And then you've got new contract Bruno running around like a madman. It's just a bad football team. So we'll talk about that today and we'll try and find some solutions, both tactically and practically.
I think you hit the nail on the head. When you go from 1 to 11, there's so many deficiencies and issues in that team. And when you come in as a manager like Ralf Ranić, and I'm seeing a lot of people obviously attack Ranić, say he's a rubbish coach, he's a bad tactician, you know. And some of his selections are a little bit strange at times, or maybe some of his substitutions can be a little bit strange. But we're going to break that down today, and we're going to actually talk about why he can't play, you know, gegenpressing or counterpressing football, because, you know, we haven't seen that for months now. But when you have a look at that side from 1 to 11, and you know, we've got it here on the screen, you know, David De Gea in goal, issues with the ball at his feet, made a fantastic save. But that is a problem if Erik ten Hag is going to come in, because he has such a big emphasis on that goalkeeper being, you know, almost the first, beginning of the attack. He's been the first person that starts the possession style of play. And then you look at the centre-backs as well. Look, Maguire and Varane doesn't work. Robert, that disallowed goal, I was a little bit surprised it was disallowed. I thought it was a little bit soft. Okay, it was a foul, but, you know, Maguire and Varane is not working. I thought Maguire actually had a good game, to be honest, but Varane was pretty poor yesterday. Luke Shaw doesn't look fit, in my opinion. Obviously went down for an injury. Issues there. Dalot, again, issues on the back foot. And to be honest, his end product going forward isn't great. When you're looking at that side, United need to probably bring in 6 players. Obviously supplement that with the academy, and we're going to talk about the academy in a little while. But what we saw yesterday was that United were not going forward. And when Ranieri came in, he said that, you know, I want verticality. That's the most important thing. Win the ball back quickly and go from back to front or counterattack and score goals, because that's when the opposition are most, the most vulnerable, you know, in that 8 seconds after you win the ball back. We haven't seen that genuinely, Rob, since the Palace game, the first 30 minutes. I think there's been moments where we've seen good football, no gegenpressing. And what we're seeing is, I think people need to understand, and especially a lot of fans, where they're blaming Ranieri. This isn't Ranieri's squad. And what we're seeing actually is this squad cannot play that style of football. So when we bring in that new manager, this is where I get a little bit sort of frustrated, as people think that Ten Hag's going to come in, wave that magic wand, United are going to play beautiful possession-based football. It's just not going to happen with these sets of players. No manager can come in and fix it. And that's what we've seen with Ranieri. He hasn't been able to play Ranieri football. And now we're seeing football which is almost, you know, very similar to what we've seen in the last couple of years.
Totally. And I think that the one thing we know about Ralf Rangnick is what's in his brain. Why is that? Because he's very expressive. He talks about the game expansively. He talks about how he believes the game should be played. Now, you're not telling me that he's telling the world these things and then telling his players something different. So you're right to highlight the Crystal Palace game, because we talked about this yesterday at Old Trafford and about what's wrong and why these things are wrong. You said there we haven't really seen it since that day. I disagree with that. There's been plenty of games where United have done gegenpressing, but they've done it for like 30 minutes at a time. They do it for 30 minutes, they look knackered. They do it for another 30 minutes, they look knackered. Gegenpressing is all about the strength of the mind driving the body. Now, do not tell me that any of these players that play for Man United are unfit. They're not unfit. They're athletes. They're monitored in a way like racehorses are monitored. You know, the blood samples are taken every week. They do all the testing, all the work behind the scenes, all the sports science. These players are fit individuals who can do it. But there is a missing piece up here. And for people obviously listening to the podcast, I am touching the side of my temple, because it is in the brain. And this is exactly what the manager has said. He said it from the start. He went, my style of football is all about working it out in your brain and then applying it. This lot do not do that. And what we're seeing, and we saw it against Leicester and we've seen it in other games, is that Ranieri is having to revert back to old systems that Solskjaer had in place, the 4-2-3-1, and trying to fit it around the players that he believes will give him victories. So like you just said there, some of the selections are strange. I don't think the selections are strange. I don't think he's got a lot of choice. I think he looks at what he's got and he's going, I'd like to play Marcus Rashford, but I'm watching him train and I'm not picking him. That tells you a lot, doesn't it? You know, Paul Pogba goes away, gets a knock for France and automatically starts when he comes back. That tells you something, doesn't it? It tells you. Luke Shaw had an injury before, went and played for England, should have gone on international duty, scored a goal, did well, and just gets picked straight away when he probably could do with another week of rehab. So, and then he got injured. So all of these things, I think, they tell their own story, you know, and fans can debate about what's a right decision and what's a wrong decision. But we know what we know. We know what's cemented in terms of Ranieri's own football, how he wants to play. And this lot either won't do it or can't do it. And that is a problem for him. So on the screen now, we've got 4-2-3-1. And that's how United set up for the match. But it didn't stay like that. It was a 4-2-2-2. It was a blatant 4-2-2-2 for most of the game. So it started with Pogba playing behind Fernandes. Again, United fans don't like that. They moaned about it against Man City. Why are you playing two midfielders at the top end of the pitch? Well, you're doing that because you literally have not got any faith in your forwards.
But there's no options as well, Rob.
You've got Ronaldo, no options. No Ronaldo, no Cavani, and Marcus Rashford is somewhere else on the planet at the moment. So what do? You have to play Langer. And what happened? Man United fans killed a Langer after the game. So this is unfair from the fan base, because I think the problems that United have got at the moment can only be solved by a new manager coming in who goes, this is my system. You either do it or you're out and I will sell you. But Ranieri can't do that, can he? Ranieri can't tell these boys, I'm not picking you. He has to pick them. He has to go with the best that he can see in training. So I look at that team, and people might have said before the game, why is Maguire playing? Like you said, Haider, I think Maguire played quite well on the day. It was interesting at the end of the match. This is not tactical, but it's a physical observation that he was the one guy at the end of the game who went down on his haunches to his knees almost on the pitch. He looked gutted. He looked gutted because the Leicester fans were singing his name. The United fans were singing his name. But he's walked off that pitch with yet another bad result. So it's a strange scenario, but it's a scenario made by the Manchester United board. Do not get this wrong. This board have completely messed this project up. They've taken Ranić, a builder of football clubs, and told him to be this soft interim of just picking players. It's not what he does, is it? So many things wrong. And this was the feeling coming away from the game yesterday, that I said Man United got 99 problems, obviously in reference to the song. And they really, really do have 99 problems.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Well, when I'm having a look at it, Rob, to be honest with you, and we're going to talk now a bit about the sort of the players and the attitude. And what I will do is we will then talk about, you know, should United have gone and just got a permanent manager, whether it was Ranić, whoever it was, should they have just gone and paid the money for Pochettino back in sort of February? Earlier than that. It was like October time, wasn't it? Or November time when all of this was happening. Should they have just gone and done that and just got a permanent manager in and then started building? Because you've wasted another season. But we'll talk about that in a second. But I want to talk about some of the sort of maybe the player attitude. Something that I tweeted and you had a very similar view is that there's a lot of these, you know, I'm going to call them stars. They don't play like stars, but a lot of them are stars, you know, or they think they're stars on incredible amounts of money, who, quite frankly, Rob, do not deserve the wage they're on, but they don't play with the application. I want to say desire is a difficult word or a difficult thing to sort of measure, isn't it? But I looked out there on the pitch and I didn't see players, you know, sort of fighting for that shirt. And when I look at this and I think, look where we are in the season. The season's over. Let's be honest. We're not going to get top four, in my opinion. There's much better teams. I'd argue that there's six or seven teams who are better than us currently on form at the moment. I think Wolves are better than us. I think West Ham are better than us. It's incredibly poor. And we're almost going through the motions towards the end of the season. But when I have a look at it and I think, why are you not playing Hannibal then? Why are you not playing Garnacho, who just got his call up to the Argentinian squad? He's been sensational for the youth teams. Why are you not playing McNeil if you haven't got a striker? I understand this is a really toxic environment to bring these young players into. I mean, let's look at Alanga, for example. Alanga came into the squad. I think he's been one of the revelations of the season. There hasn't been many, but I think he's been pretty good. And you almost see that he was sometimes, like yesterday, he was doing things that he wasn't doing before. You know, he was playing with a little bit more fear, a bit more in himself. And this is what sort of happens with young players. When they come into an environment where it's not conducive to success, the stars aren't stepping up. They're not almost controlling that dressing room. They're not leading by example. A young player who comes in with youth and fervor and, you know, sort of, you know, just almost that youthful fearness, what you find is that almost they become part of that problem, don't they? You understand what I'm trying to say? They become part of the dressing room in terms of the bad habits. I saw with Alanga yesterday, he almost looked like Rashford out there in terms of his, you know, his confidence, his decision making. And this is what I'm a little bit concerned about is when you bring these young players in, is that do we want to ruin someone like Hannibal, who is a fantastic talent, Garnacho, McNeil, Alvarez, who plays, Alvarez Fernandez, who plays left back. So this is what I'm kind of thinking. But now, after seeing what I saw yesterday, get these young players in. At least they'll apply what Ranić wants to do. At least they'll play with fear, without fear. At least they'll go and play with a little bit of passion for the shirt, because that's the bare minimum we're asking for. And some of these guys out there are just not doing that.
It's a catch 22, because I said this as well after the game and tweeted about it and talked about those players you're saying there, Hannibal, Garnacho, and obviously McNeil. And they're all great young talents. But what you said there is really, really pertinent about Alanga. And also, I think Jadon Sancho yesterday, both of them played with fear. You could see it. So their progression of where maybe their form was improving a few weeks ago, you could see them getting involved, obviously, you know, getting huge moments like Alanga scoring the goal against Atletico in the first leg. Then you get knocked out of the Champions League. It's like a punch in the gut. And everyone suffers. When Harry Maguire gets booed before a game or when he's been substituted, what fans don't realise is that affects the whole team. Yeah, the whole team looks at that and goes, I don't want that for me. That hurts me. Now, fans don't get that. You see, fans think you can just do it individually. When Paul Pogba gets ripped to shreds by United fans on social media for anything, that hurts the whole team. That's what it is. Marcus Rashford is going through a really bad time. When he gets destroyed on social media or in the press, that hurts the whole team. So this is a team that's hurting, first and foremost. But it's a team that's being asked to get top four without a manager, without a full-time manager. And this is where Ranieri's hands are completely cuffed and tied. So he cannot, Haidar, just bring in a bunch of kids now, because his job and his remit is still to get top four. So we might go as fans, bin it, throw it all away, get these players, chuck them to one side and let the kids play. Now, if you've got a full-time manager, you can do that. If you're Mikel Arteta at Arsenal, you can do that because you are the boss. You are the one with the long-term strategy, the mid-term strategy, the short-term strategy. You are allowed to do it. Ralf Rangnick is not allowed to do it. Ralf Rangnick is not going to play players, these youngsters, and potentially kill them out there and burn them if he's not sure. So this is why you get Fred every week. This is why you get McTominay. This is why Ole did the same thing. But Ole, as the full-time coach, should have been more progressive. So that's why I think you can lay those things at a full-time manager that you cannot lay at an interim. You just said there, Wolves are better than us. West Ham are better than us. The main core difference between us and them is that they have got a plan and we haven't. It's just all it is. They've got a manager in place who knows what he wants to do and he puts his identity on the team. Ralf Rangnick cannot get a bunch of players to gegenpress that do not want to gegenpress.
Also not his squad.
Impossible.
Rob. It's not his squad.
It's not his squad, but, you know, this is the thing. And he said this, didn't he, before the game. And I tweeted about this. So anyone watching the show, if you want to see kind of what he said, obviously jump on our Twitter account, you'll be able to see it. He said, Man United, this is a transition for them now in the summer. You know, he was talking about him being still at the club. Well, I thought that was quite interesting. Well, he's talking about we and us and what we need to do. And he was talking about how you need to go and get players on their first contract. He was saying it again. It's exactly what he said on day one. He was saying the same stuff. This is the problem at Man United. Too many players on big contracts that cannot help you. Even just the bones of the team, Haidar. You know, you lose Luke Shaw yesterday. Telles came on. He was garbage. Awful. Couldn't control a ball. Yeah, he has just flown across the world to play for Brazil, and that might have hurt his game. But we see the same problems. Dalot. Everyone's high on Dalot because you don't want Wan-Bissaka in the team. But Dalot was garbage. Awful. Wouldn't go forward. Couldn't cross a ball. Couldn't get on the outside. Couldn't do his defensive work. When you're like that as a football team, you are dead. It doesn't matter how good individuals are. As a team and as a unit, you've got problems. So forget Harry Maguire. Do you know what I mean? Forget all those things. It's the team as a whole. So I think this is you know, the problem for United being caught between a rock and a hard place is that you're putting teams out and you're kind of looking at your senior players and going, well, I've got to stick with you guys. But do I just drop a Hannibal in this and lose to Leicester 4-0? You can't do it. So this is always the quandary for managers. As fans, we can say it. We can go, we want the kids in. And you can do that with a full-time coach. An interim coach very, very rarely gambles like that because he's going with the stars. Cristiano's fit on one leg. You just have to chuck him out there now. You just have to hope he scores a worldie. That's all you can hope. But what a real crap way of running a football club. What an absolute disgusting, horrible way to run your team. It's not the manager's fault. It is not the interim's fault. There's no coaching issue here. It's purely on the players that were bought by a really bad board that know nothing about football.
But this is why I consistently say, Rob, that, you know, Ten Hag's the most likely to come in. Most likely, you know, he's a front runner. And United had discussions with him. And you're looking at Erik Ten Hag, and his squad plays with the ball even more. They're more possession-based than what Rangnick would want to do with his teams, aren't they? You know, they would like to control possession. You look at Ajax, they dominate possession. They dominate territory. You can't do that with this squad. And what if we go into the summer, we bring in Ten Hag, right? And then there you go. Here's three players that you want. That's not enough. We're gonna see Louis van Gaal style football. I think this is what people are really failing to understand. And this is why, like, I'm not getting so high on whether it's Ten Hag or Pochettino. Or, I'm just saying Enrique, whoever it is, Lopetegui. It doesn't really matter because ultimately, at the end of the day, when you're looking at the overhaul that needs to be done and the building blocks to building a successful football team, I've seen a lot of people say, you know, Ten Hag's the next, let's say, next Pep Guardiola. It's nonsense, but let's just say he is. Guardiola is also only as good as the backing and the hierarchy behind him and the sporting project and what, you know, the way Man City have laid out the project and how it took them, you know, 3 or 4 years, didn't they? They put in the steps in place before they even got Pep Guardiola in. You know, he was at Bayern Munich. They had those discussions and they put everything in place. They brought Bergerstein and, you know, all the other sort of Barcelona hierarchy into Manchester City. And they, you know, built this footballing project. And this is a point, is that you can bring Ten Hag in, you can bring Pochettino in, you could bring Sir Alex Ferguson back in. But the point is, at the end of the day, is that if there isn't a strategy and there isn't a, you know, almost a plan to say, this is the type of style of play we want to play, these are the type of players we want to bring in, and it's going to take X amount of years and we'll do this incrementally, or we'll get, you know, we'll gut out all the top earners and then we'll bring in players that actually are younger and who will grow with the club. If there's no actual push towards a strategy, instead of doing it sort of on a whim, oh, we'll buy this player. Oh, you know what? We'll get Cavani at the end of the window because we missed out on Sancho. And then we give him another contract, you know, for another year. That's 250 grand a year. And he doesn't play. It's just absolute nonsense. And I feel like, Rob, I feel like we're very, very far away. I don't want to be all doom and gloom, but I'm sitting here and the new manager can come in. We can announce Ten Hag and I'll be like, okay, cool. Well, that doesn't mean everything's suddenly fixed. And I think this is a problem with the fan base, is that they're not realizing that a lot of them are not realizing the issues are so deep. And I fear that it's going to take a long time for it to get fixed.
It's going to take a long time for it to get fixed, but you just have to take your medicine, Haydar. You just have to go with where you are. It's again, I'll use the same analogy I've used countless times, and it might feel pointless to United fans, but Arsenal have done it the right way. You go, you lose the matches because you have to blood your talent and you have to give a coach breathing space for him to experiment. And eventually he might go, the biggest earner at the football club, Aubameyang, I'm getting rid of him. Get out of my football club. Go. And Arsenal fans are a bit like, now the Arsenal fans that know, they go, yeah, I get it. I get why he did that. But there was plenty of Arsenal fans at that time going, this club is going to fall apart. We're getting rid of our best player. We've got no striker now. How are we going to do this? We've got Pepe up front. No. You've got to do it. You have
Rob,
to do it.
I just want to interrupt you quickly because we've got Ed said in the comments, who's obviously not agreeing with anything you're saying, and that's fine. Keep your comments coming. Cool. So, you know, he's saying here that Arsenal are doing what we did last season, yet you are bashing Ollie for doing what Arteta's doing. There's so much. There's. I'll let you answer this. A lot of nuance here. But Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had to go, guys. He, up until those 2 years, he was doing a good job. He was doing what Arteta was doing. But ultimately, at the end of the day, when you're losing 5-0 to Liverpool and everything fell apart, and the mess we're in right now is still from Ollie's doing, in my opinion. Like, he's not the issue. The players are a huge part of the problem. We're seeing that players are more of an issue than we thought. But Ollie still had to go. And we did it to a point, but then we went and got certain players and we didn't get the right players in. And ultimately, he lost his job.
Look, hindsight is a beautiful thing. So let's use some hindsight on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Are we in a better place because we sacked Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? The answer to that, Haydar, is absolutely not. No. So what I'd like to say about Ole, since I'm still blaming Ole, when Ole was the manager, of course, he has to take the responsibility for results, for team development, for everything. That's his job. And he was cool with that. And Ole was a good man and he could do it. Whether people rated him tactically or not tactically doesn't really matter. He was the manager. He took the responsibility on. And when we got to the end of his cycle, there were reasons why he was sacked. But are we in a better place? Did Man United find a solution to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer losing football matches? The answer to that is absolutely not. No, they didn't. They did not. So you might as well have kept him in charge, Haydar. You might as well kept him till the end of the season and then gone and got a proper manager. So this is the whole thing about Man United. It's why I'm blaming the board. I'm not blaming Ole. You know, Ole, when he's the manager, he picks the team. If you go and get thrashed by Watford, that's on you. Yeah, if Liverpool turn up to our place and absolutely disgustingly destroy you in front of all of us, you have to carry that. Ole's not an idiot. He gets that. And I think you might as well have kept Ole for these 6 months now. You might as well have kept Michael Carrick as the interim. If that's what you're going to do, what did Man United do? They just did what they always do. They roll the dice and they think that they might come up with something and they do something a little bit left field. They should never have taken on interim. They've said they didn't want an interim. Then they got Ralph and we were like, because we did shows on it and I was quite public, I wanted Ralph Rangnick at the football club. But I didn't want Ralph Rangnick to be at the football club and have his hands tied. I said that so many times.
He's just a babysitter. That's what
I went, it's great getting Ralph in, but let Ralph do what Ralph does. Yeah, let him build the club. Let him actually find ways of progressing the team. And that is why I've said, and I'll stick with it 100%, you should have given him a 2-year contract minimum. You should have said, go and fix these things. United never did that. And quite often when you hear Ralph talk now in his pressers, because he is blatantly honest, he always says it, he's quite clearly is not aware of what Man United's future strategy is. He really isn't, because he says it. He goes, it's not my job to pick the manager. And someone just saying that, you think, he wouldn't be saying that if it was his job to pick the manager. Do you know what I mean? Or help pick the manager. So this is the issue. So Fans can have their ideas. And we look, at the start of the season, we were ripping Arsenal. Arsenal were 17th in the league and going, oh, look at this, it's a mess. But they still did it the right way. They took the pain and they said to the fans, it doesn't matter what you think. We're the football club. We're going to do what we can for the football team. We're going to try and do it the right way. And you're going to have to come with us on the journey. And that's why you said there, you know, you feel like it won't get better soon. As a United fan, I don't care if it doesn't get better soon or not. If we've got 2 years of losing so we can have 10 years of winning, I'll take it. I'll take it. And this is how football clubs operate.
I agree with this. This is why I said as well, a year or two outside of Europe, no European football would actually be a massive help for any new manager. And people get so frustrated. Well, you know, oh, well, we want to be in Europa League. You know, we shouldn't look down on trophies. I'm not looking down on trophies. Man United don't deserve to be in the Champions League. But a new manager needs to come in, whoever it is, has one game a week, you know, obviously with the domestic cups as well. Spend that time developing with getting to know the players, you know, imprinting their philosophy, the principles, and coaching these lads need coaching, top quality coaching on the training pitch. That's what they need more than anything else. And a manager needs to come in and have that time with the players. And that's why us being in the Europa League is detrimental. Being in the Champions League is probably detrimental. It's only positive because the Glazers get their money, don't they, when we're in the Champions League? They get that Champions League money.
That's what I want now. Yeah, of course.
Look at Arsenal, obviously, this season. I know Arsenal have finished outside of Europe quite a few times, but this season especially, they've had such a good foundation, and Arteta spent so much time on the training ground, built around Odegaard, around Smith-Rowe, around Saka, those youth players. You know, they play fantastic football. They're very well drilled. And a lot of people, and look, it's Arsenal, and I can't stand Arsenal. A lot of people, obviously, saying Arsenal are going to falter. I don't think they are, Rob. This is a different Arsenal. They're up there. Right now, for me, they're probably the third best team on current form in the Premier League behind City and Liverpool. So like, I want United to go towards that. And, you know, there were parts of that, obviously, in Ollie's first couple of years of Man United. They were doing what Arteta was doing. He obviously fell off. And there's a comment here from SZ saying, you know, he doesn't think we should have signed Varane. But the defense issues were down to the goalkeeper. He's not a fan of De Gea. He's made that very, very clear in a lot of the videos. And then no defensive midfielder. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I do think if Ollie had got maybe the midfielder that he wanted to, he probably would still be in the job now. It's those sort of fine margins. But that's not how you build a football club. You know, we shouldn't be relying on chance. You know, that's what it feels like. We're just hoping that we strike gold with Ten Hag and suddenly he's able to turn it around. And that's not sustainable. And unfortunately, that's what we've been doing for the past decade since Fergie's gone.
Well, look, you just said the words there, strike gold. This is how Man United operates. They're a football club that stand at the roulette wheel and they're spinning it and spinning it and spinning it and spinning it until their number comes up, but their number hasn't come up. So that's not a way to run any business. It's not a way to run any football club. You have to build from the bottom up. You just said that these lads need coaching. Well, I think, first of all, what you need is you need to get rid of some of these lads. That's how it starts. And then you bring in players that can do what you want them to do. So if you want a gegenpress and that's your thing, then you need players that can gegenpress. You can't tell Billy Joe over there who doesn't want a gegenpress and you look at him every day and you say, just run a bit more, Billy Joe. And Billy Joe goes, oh, all right, I'll do it. You can see that on that football pitch. You can see that they have a set core tactics and it just kind of like flitters away from them 5 minutes at a time. It's so obvious, you watch them. So this is the whole thing. And then you end up with a skewed version of what you're trying to put out there as a football club. So we'll talk a little bit more also about Bruno Fernandes and the youngsters and players. It's because Bruno Fernandes has got a new deal. Does he deserve his new deal? Yes, he does. Do you announce your new deal several games before the end of the season when you're chasing top four? No, you don't. You don't. The only club that would do that is Manchester United. Why? Because they want to shut you up. They want to create a conversation that shuts you up and makes you talk about anything rather than what's going on, all of the bad stuff that you're seeing. So this is the whole point of the football club about how you do this. Your next objective should have been to get a coach. And if you don't get coach number one, who might have been Pochettino, say a few months ago, or coach number two, who's Ten Hag now, moving into the race like a Formula One car going round in the slipstream. If you don't get those two people, you need to get someone. You should have done it when you sacked Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
To be honest, Tottenham Hotspur
sacked their manager and got Conte. Yeah, that's what they did. They had a plan and they went and got the guy. That's why Conte went there. Conte went there because they wanted him and they gave him the money and said, there you go. Now, look, there's loads of horrible stuff going on at Tottenham. And Conte says it every week, doesn't he? I haven't got the right squad. I haven't got the right players. He's saying this, that, the other. He might leave the football club. But you cannot operate for 6 months after you sack your manager with an interim and expect everything to go well, because all you are doing is spinning roulette wheels. And you will lose more times than you win when you do that.
But this is a point, you know, we're having a look at Spurs. I mean, look where they were under Nuno and where they are now. Yeah, okay, look, they're obviously not fixed. But Conte's come in and right. They're looking like a Conte side. Obviously, we beat them with Ronaldo playing that absolute world in that game. They look better than us. They went and got Kulusevski. He looks an absolute inspired signing. You know, he's bought players that he wants to bring in. Bentancur's been pretty good as well. So, you know, they've
Kane looks
the
better. Son looks better. Kane they've looks all improved. Better. Yeah.
They've all improved. You're looking at, you know, Sessegnon was looking really good, obviously, at wing-back. Doherty's back in the squad. You know, they're looking like a better side. And you know, this is the point though. So it'll take a bit of time, but Spurs made the right decision getting a manager in now. And this is why I said at the time, if Man United wanted to get Pochettino, just pay the money. But it's all about money, isn't it? It's monetary decisions. I honestly think if you had Pochettino sitting here right now, obviously I never make any secret I prefer Pochettino to Ten Hag, but I'll absolutely back Ten Hag. I think he is a very good tactician. Ultimately, today, Rob, let's say tomorrow, if Poch got sacked and he was, you know, zero, it cost zero to bring him in. No fee to pay PSG, and Ten Hag is, you know, apparently it's 2 million euros or something like that. United would go for with Pochettino purely because he's a cheaper option, and that's the point. This is the problem with the club, that it's always about penny pinching or going for the cheaper option or buying the player that's going to sell the most shirts. You know, you're looking at some of the players we brought in. I mean, it sort of doesn't make sense why we're bringing this player in, because it may not fit the you know, sort of the manager's philosophy and style and the system, but we do it because it might make more money. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I tweeted this. I said, no, it's Man United PLC, not Man United FC. And that's what it's been for the last 15 years. And until something changes, whether it's ownership, I don't know what it is, we're going to carry on going down this route.
Well, the ownership's not changing ever. We will all be dead before the ownership changes at Manchester United. I guarantee you that, 100%. You said there about penny pinching. There is no penny pinching going on, Haydar. They spent £1.25 billion on players. They've spent tons of money. It's just that they're bad at what they do. That is the difference. So, like you mentioned about Pochettino. Pochettino, could you have gone and got Pochettino? Let's be honest about these things. Could you have gone and got him when you sacked Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? The answer to that unequivocally is no. It cost £22 million in compensation. That would have been to take all of his team out of PSG and bring them all to Manchester.
If you pay that, you'd get him.
But it wasn't available. There wasn't a deal in place between PSG and PSG not doing business.
Do you not think, though, if United went and go, here's the £22 million, they wouldn't have let him go? 100%.
Not at that point. No way. PSG were absolutely digging their heels in and going, we are not going to look weak in this. We're not going to let our manager walk to another rival European football super club. We're not doing it. That's why it didn't happen. So United fans can get all hyped about it and go, just pay the money and get the man. You couldn't have got Ten Hag then either. So you couldn't have got those two managers. You couldn't have got Simeone. You couldn't have got Enrique. You couldn't have got anyone, Lopetegui. You couldn't have got any of them. They were not available. But if you're going to sack your manager, you need to make sure someone is available. And you did. You got Ranić.
But you
could have gone and got Conte. But I think the whole point of this is with Conte is there's two again, mitigating factors with this. Conte likes London. He wants to go out to London. That was a big pull for him. And eventually, really, Man United could have matched the wages, but Tottenham gave him a ton of money to break that deal that he had with Inter, which was what his deal to not go to another football club. So they paid all of those things and they got what they wanted. Now, Man United weren't like, we don't want to pay it. Man United were like, we don't really want Conte. That's what it was. So Murto didn't want Conte, didn't think the style fit was there. We all wanted him. We talked about it again, did shows. We like Conte because of this, 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 and this. But that didn't happen. If Man United are going to sack their manager like they sacked Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Haydar, they need to put someone in place. They didn't. That's the problem. So this is not about Pochettino for 22 million, because you couldn't have got him. You could have offered 50 million. PSG would have gone, we don't need your money. We really don't need your money. We're richer than you. So this is the whole point of it, you see. So when you make these decisions that are football decisions, whether they be with a player or the manager, they have to be the right decisions for you. You have to go with it and build with it. But Man United, they're not building anything. It's a deck of cards, Haydar. You know, they're building it up and there's a gust of wind one week and it all blows down and everyone goes, it's Ranić's fault. It's this player's fault. You know, we've talked about Ronaldo. People say, oh, you blame Ronaldo for everything. I don't blame Ronaldo for everything. I just don't think Ronaldo helps you. That's the problem. So you want players that help you, but you need to do it with a manager who can then build. If it's Ten Hag at the end of the season, I think it will be. Ten Hag can go and build his squad over time with Murto. Hopefully Ranić still around, but I don't believe he will be. And you can do it the right way. But do you know what? There might be 2 years of masterclasses about how bad this Man United team remain.
And the ones shouting the loudest, Rob, who will turn on him like that, are the ones that want him the most vigorously as well. And that's how it always works. You know what? At the end of the day, I'm giving whoever comes in, you know, you've got 2-3 years. I expect a domestic trophy in that time, to be honest. I don't expect, a title at all. I don't expect a challenge. But after 3 years, but that's only if it's done properly. You know, we could be in a situation where they'll go and spend, you know, we'll go and spend 150, 200 million this summer with Ten Hag. Maybe he gets us to third. And then we don't push on and get the players, you know, to get us to the next level. And that's happened quite a lot. Obviously, it happened with Ole to an extent, Jose Mourinho, Louis van Gaal. So, you know, it's something that I have to see the change. I guess maybe the shining light, and this is being positive, is the fact that we didn't have, let's say, a director of football in place, a technical director. I know he sits on the touchline, and that sort of structure in place. Ed Woodward is now gone. But I need to see it. I need to see tangible evidence before I can say, yes, things have changed. And let's talk about Ranić's consultancy role, and then we'll talk about Bruno Fernandes' new contract in more detail to end. We'll talk about, a lot of people are very excited, obviously, that we brought Ralf Ranić in with the idea of moving upstairs at 2.5 year or so consultancy role. We've both said this, that I don't see him having much of an influence, if I'm honest with you. And I know you've said it before. He's not part of the structure. And I think people maybe are putting too much hope and maybe emphasis on the fact that, you know, he's going to be around. He's making all decisions. He's not making any decisions. He's just guiding. And he's in Murto's ear maybe, a couple times a month, 3 times a month. Obviously, the club haven't even defined what his role is. I think that's another problem as well, where, you know, a couple of months now towards the end of the season, he will obviously move upstairs, so to speak. And he's still, Ranić said it, I don't know what my role is. It's not defined yet. And reports are suggesting that. It's just a mess, to be honest with you. And I really don't think that we're going to see Ranić see out his 2-year consultancy role. And ultimately, at the end of the day, this is such a big missed opportunity. Obviously, it hasn't happened yet. But having him there and building the club, giving the blueprint, giving his guidance, his expertise, he's done it so many times. United really, really will miss a trick if they don't, you know, use some of his knowledge.
I think he'll see out his consultancy because the consultancy is just so woolly. So the consultancy, as I've said before, will be, he sits on a conference call once a month with the board and they say, we're thinking of looking at this player. He played for one of your Red Bull teams a couple of years ago, Ralf. What do you think? Oh yeah, he's really good. Thanks a lot. I'm paid. I'm off to go and do my other job, whatever that job might be. Now that upsets me because I think you've got this guy, put him on your board, make him live in Manchester, make him build the football club with you. Do that. That's a smart way of doing it. You just said there about Haydar, about, you know, waiting till you see it. All we need from Man United is a plan. Man United need a strategy that they can put on a bit of paper and hand to us as journalists so we can read it and then interpret it in a media to the world and say, this is what Man United want to do. The reason why Man United don't do that is because they haven't got a plan. That's the problem. So if you've got a plan, you can tell the world what you think you want to do. And even if it doesn't work, at least you've told people that you had a plan. Man United deliberately go all out of their way to not tell us stuff. They really do. And then what they do is they pretend that they're telling people stuff. So we've had this with the Glazers recently. And I use this example because I think it's real time and it's pertinent. Is that we did the fan review with them recently. And the Glazers were very upfront about what they wanted. We want more fan communication. We're going to use the fans as our sounding board. And we want to bring you back to the football club. We want to mend all these relationships and blah, 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 blah. Without actually saying that the problem was them. You know, they're looking forward rather than looking now or to the past. But here we are 3 or 4 months on. It's all gone quiet. The Glazers are not interested. They don't want to talk about fan reviews because it's blown over. Because all of that fuss that went with the European Super League has blown over. So they shut everyone up. They're getting to the end of the season. So what are they going to do? They give people contracts. Bruno Fernandes, let's wheel him out, sign his deal, do all the social, get it all out there. And then you lot can argue about whether Bruno Fernandes should have a contract or not. And that's how it works. It's smoke and mirrors. It's deliberate deception. So I think this is the problem with the Glazers, with the Man United board and the setup of the football club, is that we can want progression as much as we say every week, and we can do that, but you are not going to get it. Not really. Not until you get a coach in place who might be able to tie together bits of the football project so it looks coherent. But that takes time. So if you get Ten Hag or Pochettino, do not be surprised if you get 6 months of Man United in 10th place. But then don't kill him. This is what I want to stress.
Yeah, but
to
you know
fans.
That's just, yeah, but it's just not going to happen, Rob, because ultimately at the end of the day, let's say Pochettino walks in through the door. 70, 80% of the fans already don't want him. You've got another Ollie in and Ollie out sort of situation. Ten Hag will get more time, but ultimately at the end of the day, if United lose 3 games on the bounce to Watford, Brighton and Burnley, let's say, for example, then there are people who are going to say, get out of the club. And this is a problem though. And the Glazers feed off the fan base, the neuroticism. We spoke about this about a year ago, anyway, the neuroticism of the fan base. They feed off the fact that we're attacking each other on Twitter. It's just an absolute cesspit. And ultimately, in the day, that's where they get the engagement. Go to any tweet that the Man United Twitter does, you know, anything, and you just read the comments. It's embarrassing. We're an embarrassing fan base. And ultimately, at the end of the day, they're feeding off it. Biggest fan base in the world. And they know what gets the hits and the engagement. And that's where they're about, right? You remember, was it Richard Arnold who said, you know, we have X amount of engagement, you know? When, you know, you look at City, Liverpool, they talk about winning titles and trophies. We're talking about engagement and followers on Twitter. That, Ronaldo hits 400 million Instagram followers and the club are celebrating that. They're not celebrating the fact that, you know, United are winning titles. And you know, it's we're not a football club anymore.
Every football club wants all of that stuff that goes with football, engagement, social media followings, all of that stuff to be able to control the news cycle, as I call it. You know, they want to be at the heart of a conversation because it basically boosts their value as a football club. That's why they do it. But it's not the most important thing, not to fans, and it shouldn't be. I think, unfortunately, fans have had such a bad deal out of Man United now for 10 years that they just live in this constant cycle of flux. They just do. And I think the fan base are in flux in the same way that the team is in flux. It's like the same thing. You look at them, they're mirrors of each other. So at least the fan base can step away and maybe take themselves out of it. But the truth is that when you've got a billion fans, and Man United have got a billion football fans around the world, you're always going to have that section of the fan base that will conform to whatever you want to do. So United want fans to be kind of upset and annoyed and tweeting like crazy and banging their screens because they're stressed, because it generates pounds and dollars for Man United. That's why it works. What we need to see from Man United is a proper plan for football. How is your football team going to go out every week and play good football? That's why we do a tactics show, because this is how you build. You do it the right way. Now, there's plenty of people at United that do this. They do all the analysis. They work in a team. You saw Ralph when he came to the football club. It's the first thing he talked about. He got a psychologist in. He got video analysis in. He tried to do all those things, but he was doing it on a postage stamp. You know, he wasn't given the time to kind of build these things. So if you bring Ten Hag in, he'll do the same thing. He'll want to do that. Pochettino will want to do that. If you've got Diego Simeone or Enrique, they would want to do that. But how long have they really got to get it right? And at Man United, if social media doesn't like a manager, they sack the manager. That is the truth. It's the truth. So this club is run. I called it the other day, like it's like an X Factor football club. It's like people ringing and vote. You know, well, we don't like this manager. Tick. Oh, we like Ten Hag. We'll have him. Tick. Oh, but have you ever seen Ajax play? No. What? So this is the problem. So this is not something that's going to heal by putting a Band-Aid over a cut. It's not like that. This is a full-blown operation that needs to be done from the core with surgical precision. You need the right coach. You need the right backing staff. You need all the right players. But there's still players that you can get rid of. There's certainly tons of players that you could buy in, and you have got a very good youthful core that if you bring them in from day one in terms of preseason next year, then you might have a good team that actually competes for the top four as a starting block. But that's where you are. I don't care that we're not competing with Liverpool City. I really don't. We are so far away from that. It is not worth getting stressed about it. You need to compete with yourself. You need to be better than what you are today and what you are yesterday. We need to have a team better than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's team that came second last year and got to a European final. We need those things, but you have to build it. You can't get lucky. You can't spin a wheel and expect that it just lands on your lap.
My final word, Robin, we'll wrap up here. And guys, thanks for all your great comments and your, you know, sort of helping build this conversation and some of your viewpoints as well. We love to discuss different viewpoints and challenge each other's views as well. But, you know, something that I see, obviously, has to edit this podcast. My brother, obviously, he's an Arsenal fan, and he's got a real connection now with this team. And I look at it because, you know, they're built around, you know, I know it's a local as, and it doesn't mean just because you're from Manchester, that means that, you know, you're going to love the club more. Because I think the way Jesse Lingard's acted, you know, over the last sort of maybe 6 months hasn't been what I'd expect from a local lad. But there is an affinity, isn't there, towards, you know, these Arsenal fans. They absolutely adore Saka, Smith Rowe. Obviously, Odegaard isn't from there. But, you know, young players who absolutely, you know, sort of understand the fabric of the club, and that they're growing with the club. And you're almost building, you know, sort of the success around those that have come from within. And United need to go back to that core. We did have that. Obviously, Mason is no longer with the squad. You know, Rashford seems to have fallen off a cliff. Fans love Alanga, but I'm not sure he's actually at the required level, to be honest with you. I think, you know, we'll see what happens. But United then now need to start bringing up these youngsters and supplementing the squad, and then bringing in quality that, you know, maybe aren't stars. I tweeted it yesterday. Julian Alvarez was available for 17 million, Rob. It just does not make sense why United didn't go for him. It's not like you're breaking the bank. You know, no one could have foreseen United's striker problems. But my point is that building the club in the right way, promoting the youth, playing them, don't just dump them on the bench or send them out on loan. Like Jimmy Garner, I would love to see him come back and see what he can do with the squad. And then bringing in talent that fits, let's say, Ten Hag's talent, you know, sort of ID, fits his system. Profiles are very, very important. You know, if Ten Hag wants a certain, let's say, we've seen Anthony, for example, a right winger. If he wants Anthony, go and get him Anthony. If he wants Timber, you know, go and get him Timber. You know, this sort of thing, because the amount of times we hear with Louis van Gaal, and we saw his comments the other day, obviously saying to Ten Hag, don't go to United. I actually agree with him, Rob. Wait another couple of years and go to City or go to Liverpool. Genuinely, and I hate saying that, but they've got a footballing project. We just have a commercial one. So when I have a look at all these sort of things, that's what I want to see from a very basic level. Bring the youth up, get rid of those on big contracts or those who don't want to be there. If it's 11 players, get them out of the club and then start bringing players that will fit the system. I don't want world beaters. I just want players who are willing to learn, to apply themselves, to work hard, to take on the manager's instructions and to build something possibly exciting for the future.
Get rid of players that don't help you, whoever they are. If they're Cristiano, you get rid. If it's Jesse Lingard, you get rid. If it's Marcus Rashford, you get rid. It doesn't matter who it is or what they are, whether they're from Manchester or whether they're from the moon. It doesn't really matter. I do think it's important to have a core of local lads who come through your system. And I think, and I will always believe that, because I think that they will always play for that badge just that little bit harder at times. It does happen. It doesn't mean it's the all-encompassing, you know, thing for you. Like you look at the Charlie McNeil now, who's doing so well in the youth setup and coming through. He went to Man City. He scored 600 goals for Man City at youth level, and he came back to Man United. He's a local. He's a lad from Droylsden. So you know, if you have a local lad in there, it does help. But it's not helping Marcus at the moment, is it? So it's about having the setup there with all of those functioning pieces moving together. You need a senior core that earn the top wages at the club. Then you need a middle core of players that turn up every week and give you 7 out of 10 performances without fail. And then you need a youth setup underneath looking after it all as the foundations of the football club. If you can do that and move that through, you will get what you deserve. You will improve and you will win. Looking at City, looking at Liverpool, you look at kind of their structures. For City, it's Phil Foden. Yeah, you look at what they've done, and Foden is the jewel in the crown of that youth setup of what they did 5 or 10 years ago. You're looking at Liverpool. They're now getting players coming through. They've got Alexander Arnold, who's obviously the last few years has shown that someone from their academy can go straight in your first team and become a worldie, you know, can cross a ball better than anyone else. And he was a kid. So you can do these things, but you must create the environment for them to do it. And there is no environment at Man United to do that. There's a club shop that sells a million shirts. And that is really what United is. They are a commercial football club. Louis van Gaal hit the nail on the head.
Rob, can I just say something? Why were United fans so upset about it? Because they said exactly the same thing. Louis van Gaal's spot on. Is he a bit bitter? Possibly.
No, it's tribalism. It's tribalism.
He's absolutely bang on. If there's one thing Van Gaal is, he's honest. He's honest.
It's just tribalism. That's all it is. It's that United fans, if someone says this, that, or the other about Man United, they want to fight against it. So if you say you hate the Glazers, all the Man United fans are like, yay. If you say anything that's even vaguely pro-Glazer, the United fans go, boo. So you look at what Van Gaal said, and he was completely straight. And he said that when he came to the club. I remember him doing a press conference with him after about 2 months of him being in the job. And he sat there in his typical Louis van Gaal way, and he went, the worst thing is that I got to go and do a thing with a sponsor in a minute. I'm sat here with you guys that I don't want to be sat here with. I want to be on a pitch training my players, but I'm not allowed to do that because this is Manchester United. And we all went, that's not a good start, is it? But he was being honest. So what he said the other day about Ten Hag is exactly the same. And I think Ten Hag, you bring him into the football club and he's being brought in because he's kind of become the commercial choice, hasn't he? The United fan base who create commerciality because they spend the dollars, they want Ten Hag now. A year ago, they didn't really know who Ten Hag was. 2 years ago, Ten Hag just wouldn't have been on their radar.
It was Pochettino about 6 months ago, Rob.
It was just Poch. So this is the thing. So this is why we have to, especially when we do this show and we talk tactics, we're trying to do it factually, is that you have to kind of detach yourself from those things of populism because they don't help your football club. Ten Hag might be the right coach, but you've got to choose him for the right reasons. And then when you choose him, you've got to help him. So I think Arsenal have helped Arteta, and that's why we keep regurgitating that example, because they did that. They could have sacked him after six games this season. They were 18th. And I knew plenty of Arsenal fans. I think Haas as well. We were kind of taking the mickey out of Haas and those things and going, you're a useless football club. Arsenal fans would have been happy to sack their manager after 10 games. They would have been overall. Not all of them, but some of them. And a loud minority, maybe. Manchester United have the same issue, same problem. And you're going to have to stick with the next guy for 2 years. And if you don't like the football, tough. You're going to have to bite your lip. And unless it actually goes completely horrible, like we watch it and we're in 6 months in a project, we're like, can't pass a football, you're going to get relegated. Then you might have to change your manager. Of course, these things do happen in football. But at the same time, you must be patient. If you don't see things you don't like, tough. You're going to have to let that manager work it out. We did it with David Moyes, yeah? No one wanted David Moyes after 11 months. He was ready to go. But the truth is, we probably should have let him see out is a little bit more of his six-year contract. 11 months of a six-month contract. Is that David Moyes' fault or is that Manchester United's fault? I think it's the latter. I really do. I don't think David Moyes was the right choice. And I think Fergie has to hold up to a lot of that because he pushed him forward for that job. But was it the right call to just sack your manager after 11 months when you've given him a team that a lot of them don't want to be there anymore? Because that's how it was. They were champions and they were like, well, I don't want to play for this manager. You know, I'm off. I think I might leave. You know, listen to what Patrice Evra says about that period at that time with that football team. So this is the issue, isn't it? Is how long do you give a manager? You gave Van Gaal 2 years. You gave Mourinho 3 years. You gave Ole 3 years. But it's the same problem, isn't it? Over and over again.
We could be sitting here in 3 years' time, Rob, saying Ten Hag's gone. You know, and he's saying exactly the same things. Because Ten Hag's Dutch as well. I like the Dutch honesty. And, you know, there obviously are talks that, you know, if Ten Hag does come in, you maybe bring Van Persie in and this sort of stuff. But, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, what he's doing at Ajax will not be replicated at Manchester United unless there's a complete overhaul of this squad. And I think that's where we're sitting at the moment. So, any last words before we wrap up? Anything to share with the audience?
A proper football club would have got Ralph Rangnick like they did and they'd have given him an 18-month to 2.5-year contract and given him £200 million worth of money and said, go and fix it. That's what you do. That's how you make it work. But this Man United setup have not done that. They've done the complete opposite. And what they've done is at every corner is they've just chopped players' legs off, chopped coaches' legs off, and then they go, well, why can't any of this lot run? Well, they haven't got any legs, lads. So this is the issue. So you now need to go and empower this football team with a really good coach, with a good setup, and with a plan. And I'll just end on this, because we've said it before. Fred said it in Atletico Madrid in the Champions League first leg, and they asked him directly about the manager, Ole, and all of those things. And he said, we don't understand, and we mean in the players, we don't understand why you would bring an interim in at that stage, why we weren't kind of given a chance to just try and fix it. But you bring an interim in, we don't know if we're going to be here next summer. So there's a lot of players thinking that. All you need is that little soundbite, Haider, to know what these players are thinking. That's what they're thinking. They don't really know if they're wanted. And if you're not wanted, you tend not to put in 100%. Come on, that's how life is, isn't it? If you work for a business that doesn't want you or makes you feel less, you don't become more. So Manchester United, the problem is upstairs. This board needs to sort it out. They're never going to resign. They're always going to be here. All we can hope is that one day when they spin that roulette wheel, they get lucky.
And we'll end on that. Guys, thank you so much for all your comments, all your contributions. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Also, go and check out Rob's The Promised Land podcast as well. He's doing some great stuff on there. Rob, do you want to say any words about that?
No, we go twice weekly. You'll hear us on Tuesdays and Fridays. And what we try and do on The Promised Land is maybe the opposite of what we try and do on The Masterclass. So we like to look at games and analyze stuff here and talk progressively about what coaches can do and what the team should be doing. Whereas on The Promised Land, we talk a little bit more gossip. We look at it's a bit more chit-chatty about factions, things that are going on at the football club. And we also try and give you some of our insider knowledge. So obviously, we're all journalists and we do have sources and connections with the football club and beyond and with agents. So we try and talk about those things a little bit more.
Go and check that out. It's a lovely tandem between obviously what we do here, a little bit more nerdy, Rob, and then obviously a bit more of what's going on in the real world. But so guys, as always, give us a follow on at TF Masterclass. Give myself a follow on at @Hader_Rubani. Give Rob a follow on at @_Rob_B. It's pretty grim at the moment, Rob, to be honest. It may get better. It may get much worse. We'll see what happens and we'll see you all next time.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.